Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. My name's P. Alliston, and this is Dave Cribb.
Ahoy, and also hoy.
I feel I should point out that it's very noisy around my flat today, so at any moment you could hear someone trimming the hedge.
Yep.
Someone mowing the grass, and also someone hoovering just outside.
Oh wow!
Oh, they're not outside the building. They're not hoovering outside the building. They're hoovering the hallway. Meanwhile, how are things with you?
Yes, very good, thank you. Yes, I'm about to embark on a jaunt, I'd say.
Ah, jaunt.
I'm going to go to Devon for 4 days.
Isn't Devon, like, doesn't it always end up being really far away from, even if you're somewhere that you feel should be quite close to Devon or Cornwall,
yeah, so
it
far.
Still takes absolutely hours.
Yeah, so far. I'm not even thinking about the journey.
Oh, well, everybody knows our whereabouts, don't they? So that's good.
It's nice to know, isn't it? Nice to know who's in Devon and who's not in Devon. You've got a week off as well, haven't you?
I have. I won't be in Devon, though.
Well, you'll be in Yorkshire.
I will.
Another wonderful county.
Yeah, it's all right, yeah.
It's all right.
I thought Yorkshire people
are very...
Sort of, yeah, they are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Sort of to a point of, like, it is great and it is lovely and, like, scenery and I feel like Yorkshire people sometimes border on a bit of delusion.
They really do, don't they? Because I'm from Lancashire, which is, you know, we're supposed to be rivals, blah,
the
blah,
dark
blah.
Side of the M62.
Well, yeah, but effectively, we're on the same line of latitude, aren't we, effectively? You know, like, it's the same sort of area of the country. Mm. And there's lovely bits of Lancashire, and I would argue lovely bits of Yorkshire, but there's a weird patriotism to Yorkshire people, especially, I find, that sort of seems to forget all that sort of stuff. And I do know, actually, having said this, fuck shit, we've got loads of listeners from Leeds, haven't we?
Yeah, but I'm in Leeds. I live here, so I can slag it off all I like. It's fine.
Yeah, I know. I'm just worried about old Johnny Lancashire here coming over and going, Yorkshire's sometimes a bit bleak.
Well, so is Lancashire.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, mate. Absolutely.
Mate, I've been to Burnley, so.
Let's just leave it there, shall we, and just say both of our home counties are lovely and wonderful and can sometimes be bleak. That's fine. I'd say that's true of anywhere. Friends. After last week's debacle, I'd say that was a concise bit of intro.
Well, I feel like I should point out, every time I've noticed notifications saying so-and-so messaged you on Instagram, I've gone on it and it's been someone sending some sort of Jonathan Creek related.
Right. I actually watched an episode of Jonathan Creek.
I know you did. You put it on your Instagram story, didn't you?
It's gone from Netflix, though. What a shambles.
Which one was it?
It was a season four. So basically, obviously it's not as classic as the Caroline Quentin years, but I know those ones backwards. And
is it Sheridan Smith era?
No, it's Julia Swahalia.
Oh, he had a few colleagues, didn't he, Jonathan Creek?
He did. Good choice of the word colleague, Pete, because they are very sort of...
I thought assistant was patronising.
Well, and they're not assistants, but they're also sort of, they all have this sort of pseudo-sexual edge, but there's never like a love interest in a, you know, apart from with Caroline Quentin, which it borders on it a bit. But yeah, colleague is a good word, a good catch-all, you know?
I remember the episode where Sheridan Smith was in a bath.
Yes.
And then a little trap door opens and she falls into some sort of water tank.
Yes.
And there's some dead bodies down there.
Someone did get in touch on the Friends with Friends Facebook page. Kelly, and said, if you do a Creek podcast, you should also include the Australian series Wolf Creek.
Oh, what is that?
Well, it's a great question, isn't it, Pete? Wolf Creek is an Australian horror web television series which screens on Stan. It is the spin-off to the movies Wolf Creek and Wolf Creek 2.
Yeah, always on the lookout for more
Creek. Always on the lookout for more Creek. So that is the new motto of this show. Oh, that's the end sting. Press the wrong one there, and if you're listening...
See you next week! Yeah.
And so to friends, a request this week, Peter, from a former quiz lightning round winner.
Oh, really?
Sam Brenton.
Ah, Sam.
Remember Sam? Hello, guys. Huge fan of the podcast. Obviously, that stays in.
Yeah, of course.
Genuinely not just saying that. I love the idea that people are just saying it so they can get an episode onto the podcast.
Yeah.
In response to your call out, this is from the 29th of April, so I'm so sorry, Sam, that it's taken long to get
to.
We do have quite the backlog. My nomination is Season 2, Episode 5, the one with five steaks and an eggplant. I cannot believe we haven't done this one, if I'm honest. I think it's a brilliant and unique episode. Addresses what's quite a common issue amongst friend groups of people in their 20s, about some people end up earning more money than their friends and how it can become awkward when it comes to splitting the bill in restaurants, despite it airing 25 years ago, still feels as relevant. I also rewatched it before sending this to you and forgotten it has one of the maddest B-plots in the whole series. I'm going to leave that as a cliffhanger, Pete.
You could be forgiven for not knowing what it is because it's completely disconnected from the rest of it.
Completely disconnected. And it's the only other plot as well, isn't it? The main five stakes and eggplant thing runs through the whole thing. Anyway, that's the gist of Sam's message.
But just to check, he did say he loves the podcast.
The first sentence. Huge fan of the podcast. Thanks for your request, Sam. One with five stakes and an eggplant. So yeah, I mean, basically, if you haven't seen this one, there are only two plots. So I won't do the synopsis because it's basically those two that we've just mentioned. The gang splits in two, doesn't it? And half of them are earning too much money and half of them aren't. And then we have the mad B plot. Where, do you want to start with the mad B plot?
Yeah, okay.
I think we should start with the mad B plot.
Another plot which revolves around very of its time technology.
Yes, really does. Maybe the first 5 years of Friends really overused the answering machine, didn't
they? Yeah, so many voicemails,
love a voicemail. And it does remind me of, and this is a technology we don't have anymore, Pete, really, unless you have one of those old machines, but the ability for a receiver to pick up the phone midway through a
message,
voicemail.
Yeah.
Like, that is something that the digital age has really long forgotten.
What is the modern equivalent of leaving a voicemail on the wrong phone? Sort of texting the wrong person?
Yeah, wrong number, I guess. Wrong number text or wrong number WhatsApp or something. Yeah, it's much harder these days because it's not just dialing. Well, it's not the wrong phone, is it? It's just an old number. Yeah, I guess it's like texting someone who's changed their number, isn't it?
I have a policy of never listening to voicemails.
Ever?
Yeah, there's probably some pretty important stuff on there that I'll never hear, but that can just be one of life's great mysteries. I just can't be bothered with voicemails.
What if you won the lottery? I think that's how they let you know if you win the lottery.
Because these days, smartphones, they tell you who's left the voicemail, right? So if I see that my mum has left a voicemail, I can guarantee that voicemail starts with, "Hi, it's only me," and then she'll just text me anyway. So I don't need to listen to that because I know what's in it.
It's only me, just ringing to say hi. I'll drop you a text to let you know. Yeah. Hi, and then she'll do a text. Hi. Just
nothing to worry about. Yeah. That's a big favourite line as
absolutely
well.
Absolutely classic mum voicemail, that. I understand that. But what if you get a voicemail from an unknown number? Anyway, look, just in case, Pete, you might have won the lottery and missed it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I haven't entered any lotteries. So the odds of me winning a lottery that I haven't entered, I can be pretty confident that it's not somebody telling me that I've won millions of pounds.
Fair. Absolutely fair. But yes, if you haven't watched it for a while, it's Chandler gets a call from a girl who is trying to reach her ex, Bob.
Yes.
Her name is Jade. The first voicemail comes as Ross and Chandler are watching Spanish midgets wrestling on the television.
And they're really quite into it as well.
Yeah, I mean, Chandler references Rodrigo, the wrestler, doesn't he? Like, it's a long-running storyline that they watch.
Mm.
And it's never really referenced again, and it's just glanced over. But that's one of those slightly early Friends oddities, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just background noise, isn't it, at the start of that first scene?
Exactly.
Or background wrestling.
Background wrestling, exactly. The phone rings. It's Jade trying to get hold of Bob. This whole storyline, I think it's worth saying before we crack into it too deeply, is like Creep Town, creepy, 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 some Creep Town.
Yeah, Chandler's plan right? is shitty, yeah.
It's not only shitty, it's mad, right?
Well, it's coercing a woman into meeting up in the hope that she will forget about the person that she's clearly quite keen on.
Yeah.
In the hope that you'll be able to convince her to sleep with you.
Now, right, so and before we delve into the intricacies of the plan and why it's mad, it's just important that we outline that we're fully aware it's mad. Having said that, pop yourself in Chandler's brain. The situation as we know it, right, is that she clearly wants a hookup, right? That's what's happening, yeah?
Yeah.
So why does Chandler arrange a date for a coffee house at 5 p.m?
Yes, at which point she'd probably have sobered up.
It's
and, dare I say, be less imminently wanting sex.
It's just an odd leap. And I know the leap is because it's the only venue in all of Friends. but it just feels like an odd setting, a sort of family-friendly coffee shop in the middle of the afternoon. He does go, he feels bad, he goes over to sort of confess the plot, you know, and then bails on it.
Changes his mind, yes.
Does this strange... I just had this weird sense, but that's me. I'm weird and sensitive.
Yes, yeah, sort of pretends to be quite sort of soppy and vulnerable, doesn't he, in an attempt to trick her.
Gets the tissues out and says, I'm all cried out today. There's just a lot of really odd Chandler behaviour in this. But, you know... Having said that...
It doesn't feel very Chandler-y.
It doesn't feel very Chandler-y. It feels very Joey-y, doesn't it?
Yes.
Having said that, thank goodness that the writers of Friends have taught us that the moral of the story is, if you are a massive creep and trick a woman into going on a date with a man that's not going to be there, you will end up having sex with her. So yes. The moral of the story is, you know...
It works!
It really works, guys. Jesus. So yeah, and I mean, the rest of this plot sort of weaves in and out of the five steaks and the eggplants, doesn't it? But he goes on a date with her, he then sees her again the next day and has sex with her, and she leaves another message for Bob, well, basically leaving a terrible review of his sexual prowess.
Yes, why is this woman giving her ex so much detail about the poor quality of the sex? Like, I can understand the, hey, I had sex and it wasn't with you, doesn't that make you feel bad? Like, gloating. I can understand why she might do that. But then she's like, he didn't even really last long, and it was
awkward,
really
and bumpy.
Yeah. Like, that's why bother? Why bother telling him that?
I am fascinated by Jade and Bob's relationship, because something's not quite right there, is it? The way she continues to leave him voicemails when he picks up the first time, arranges to meet her, and doesn't turn up. And she immediately forgives that. That's a bit of a no-no in the first place, right? She immediately forgives him. She leaves another message. He picks up again. She then, like you say, goes into this bizarre detail about the sex she's had with Chandler. But we should say, from Chandler's point of view, that is karma.
Yeah, it deserves that.
Absolutely deserves that. Your little awful scheme has ended up with you being embarrassed and being embarrassed in front of your friend. Shame on you.
She does say, though, so eventually she leaves this voicemail and Joey hears it.
Oh, right, Jade, stop leaving voicemails.
Yeah. So she says on that last voicemail that it's been 3 years since Bob.
Yeah.
Like, that's not just wanting one last steamy night. That's, as she puts it, I mean, you're kind of harassing old Bob now, aren't you?
Yeah, it's getting
3 years of voicemails.
Yeah, and it's getting to the stage where, I mean, she clearly doesn't know anything about Bob's current lifestyle or what's going on. 3 years is easily enough time for him to have found somebody else, and she's just continuously leaving voicemails on his answering machine. It's a terrible moral lesson. Chandler doesn't come out of it well on any level. He's clearly bad at sex. The end. I mean, that's it, isn't it?
I guess, yeah, the good bit to come from this is that Chandler does something shitty and the universe corrects it. So.
He gets his comeuppance.
I'm Tilly Steele.
And I'm Helen Monk.
And this is Bitchin'.
I'm dyslexic. Yeah, why do you read the Wikipedia page? It's good to practice.
A podcast where every week we talk about a different person.
So how old was he when he first popped on the scene?
That's a great
question. If you say he was my age, I'm gonna fucking die.
And we veer wildly off track.
Pop that Prosec.
Available on all your podcast apps. That's not right. Just
can you not say in the advert?
Available on all your podcast platforms. Just search Bitchin' or Great Big Owl.
We'll see you there.
That was all right.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay, on to the eggplants and the steaks. Ross's birthday is upcoming. At this stage, I thought Chandler had already bought tickets for Hootie and the Blowfish because he's trying to claim the money back off them all.
Yeah.
But it turns out he hasn't even bought them yet later.
Yes, because they buy them for them as a group, don't
they? Yes, on the day as well. I mean, I've got a lot of questions about the Hootie and the Blowfish concert. One, so how big are Hootie and the Blowfish at this stage? So watching it originally, my impression was this band was massive at the time, right? The way they're talking about it. So mainstream success, 94, 95. Yeah, so they're doing bloody well in 94, 95. They've got top 10 hits.
My favourite thing about when they go to the gig is that as the gig finishes, Ross goes, excellent, that was excellent. Like, nobody says that when a gig finishes, do they?
Well, I have a number of questions about the gig. Number one, where is it?
Yes, it's like in a small theatre, isn't it?
It looks like a high school theatre. It looks like a cinema. Plush red chairs. There's only about, 200 people in it, max?
Which is surprising that Hootie and the Blowfish weren't able to sell out such a small venue, particularly on the day of the gig.
Well, exactly. They bought tickets, six tickets, for what I can tell. Very good seats.
Very good, yes.
I mean, there's no bad seat in that room because it's the size of a small cinema. I mean, it looks like the theatre they're going to see Freud in, the Joey musical Freud. Like,
all you want is a blowfish.
Yes, all you want is a blowfish. I mean, I presume that they didn't actually hire Hootie the Blowfish to play the first 9 seconds of their song.
They don't appear. They'd have made the most of them appearing, wouldn't they?
I would have thought so. Anyway, we'll come on to the Hootie and the Blowfish saga a little bit later, won't we? It starts because they're trying to buy Ross's presents. And Chandler says they owe $62
right,
each.
Okay. So, so $62 each for his birthday. Between like five of them, they are spending about £250. On their friend's birthday.
Yes, in English money, yes. Over 300 American dollars.
And given I've done that calculation, it probably tells you whose side I'm on here.
Right, yes. Yeah, exactly.
That's very generous.
That's incredibly generous. That is, and we can only assume that the idea is they do this six times a year as well, for all six of their birthdays. I can't imagine they're spending $300 on Ross and then like $20 on Joey. But in the nicest possible way, I mean, what's the most you ever spend on a birthday present for someone that isn't your significant other, I'd say, you know?
Well, someone that isn't my family as well.
Yeah, even my family, mate. Like,
you're probably talking £30 tops.
Yeah, it's a nice little gesture, isn't it? But you're not going mad for $300. Because
not even a big birthday.
Not even a big birthday, no. I mean, age plays an interesting role in this episode, and I've got some thoughts on that later, Pete. But they're mid-20s at this stage, aren't they? So it's nowhere near a big birthday.
They're at that point in their 20s when the amount each of you earn is really starting to differ.
Yeah.
Most people, and I am generalising, most people are generally on some kind of level financially when you first go into work.
Sure.
And then give it a few years, and then some people start progressing, and some people, I don't know, get made redundant and stuff like this, and then it all starts fluctuating a bit, and you find yourself in the situation they're in, where your friends are all earning very different things. So I feel like that fits really well for the age that they are.
Agreed. And so here's my train of thought. I'd say me and you aren't in the equivalent of the Chandler, Monica, Ross bracket, and never have been because we work in the media, right?
Yes, correct.
The equivalent of that bracket in our lives are the people we know that work in the city, or yep. You know. But why are they going for a big posh dinner to celebrate Monica getting a promotion?
Especially when they clearly have plans to go out for a big dinner very, very soon for Ross's birthday,
like 2 days later, right?
Yeah,
like get a bottle of champagne. Like a nice one if you want. Order a pizza in. Oh, you got promoted. Great. I don't know. It doesn't fit. It didn't strike with me as a sort of thing mid-20s people would do, you know?
No. Like no. You might go out with your partner.
Right. Right.
But that's about it.
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I think we'll both land on the side of the lesser earnings in this stage, especially because we resonate with what that was like in our mid-20s.
Splitting the bill. I'm generally happy to split the bill evenly. A couple of quid difference wouldn't bother me. Unless, like, someone has blatantly ordered less and therefore they deserve to pay much, much less. So I don't think I don't think it's unreasonable.
No, and so the restaurant scene in itself, this is like an iconic Friends scene, isn't it? This restaurant scene. There's so much going on here. There are so many lines to take away. There's the waiter who has featured Pete in our... I'd say one of our most successful rounds in the Friends with Friends quiz, Waiters of Friends.
But he is so unbelievably passive-aggressive. Like, he comes over to the... Imagine you are actually at a meal and this happened. The waiter comes over to the table and says, "Do I dare ask?" Yeah. You'd just be like, fuck off, mate. We'll go somewhere else.
It's weird, isn't it? But it sort of leads me to believe that the place they're in is supposed to be so posh that they're basically... Not the expected
clientele. They don't belong.
You know, yeah, exactly. Having said that, the chairs in the restaurant, Pete, do not scream posh restaurant.
It doesn't look posh at all. It looks like quite a sort of, I'd say, 3-star hotel wedding reception.
Correct. Also, what the fuck restaurant is it? Because they serve Cajun catfish, Thai pizza, cucumber soup. Like, what the fuck is the culinary theme here? I really wasn't expecting Joey to be able to order a pizza in this restaurant. That was my takeaway.
And then when the pizza arrives, Phoebe says it's tiny.
Yes, like it's a sort of, maybe it's like an aperitif pizza, you know, like a little...
You know, like those ones you buy toddlers that come wrapped in cling film in supermarkets and they're like 12p.
Yeah, mini freezer pizza.
Mini freezer pizza, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They are very satisfying though.
The whole them ordering sequence is great, isn't it? So Joey and his chickenless pizza, is it cheaper if I don't have all the bits on it? The cucumber, cucumber soup. Can we talk about cucumber soup?
Cucumber doesn't really have much flavour, does it?
Well, no, this is where we're going to argue, Pete, because I fucking hate cucumber.
Oh, do you? I don't like what's the phrase? I don't like the texture of cucumber. It's very slippy and sloppy.
It's an awful food, cucumber. I'd say it's by far and away my least favourite food.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I cannot bear it.
Well, you won't be ordering the cucumber soup then?
Absolutely won't.
I feel like cucumber soup would need quite a lot of seasoning and other things in it.
Just sounds vile, mate, if I'm honest.
It does, yeah. I don't have a strong hatred of cucumber like you, but it doesn't sound good to me.
Well, exactly. I think even a cucumber apologist would have to say a cup of cucumber soup does not sound appetizing.
Noodle soup.
Cucumber soup. And then Rachel, of course, is, I'll have the side salad. And what would that be on the side of? They were clearly, I mean, the other three must have been watching that going, oh, something's awry here. They're all ordering nothing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're not watching that going, oh, that's weird. They're just all ordering.
Yeah, they should have been more sensitive to it.
Exactly.
Or maybe Ross and Chandler didn't spot it because they're sort of hiding behind the menus, aren't they, the whole time?
Oh, hiding behind the menus, talking about the date. Mm. So here's the thing about the date. So we're led to believe this is the same day, right? They met. He's met Jade at 5 p.m. and had apparently this wonderful afternoon with her and then still made it to dinner. The bill comes, and considering they spent $62 each on Ross's present, and this is supposedly a hugely posh restaurant, $28 each isn't actually very much, I wouldn't have thought. The three of them had a big main course. They've all got desserts. Weirdly, all their desserts are still basically untouched on the table. Did you notice that? And wine.
They're like, Ross says something like, oh, Monica shouldn't pay, like, we're celebrating for her. Nah, Monica should fucking pay. Like, it was her idea. It was her idea, and it's not her birthday. She's just got promotion and is therefore earning lots more money now.
I was going to say, she is, if anything, in the position to
exactly.
pay more.
Exactly. She's paying her treat, if anything.
Yeah, that was an odd call, wasn't it? So, yeah, and then this whole argument breaks out. It gets very awkward, and that sort of sets the split up for the rest of the episode, doesn't it? But sort of the two tribes, as it were.
Mm. I can understand why... Like Chandler in particular, he really sort of visibly cringes, doesn't he, when he has to have this conversation.
Oh, yeah, it's horrible, isn't it?
I do completely understand. Like, that's just uncomfortable conversation for all six of those people. So I get that.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, we've all been in that situation. But how many times have you been to dinner, say, especially in your mid-20s, in a group, and you've had to basically play the bill-splitting lottery at the start of the meal? So you go, is this the sort of group that's going to split the bill? Because I remember doing this when I didn't earn loads in my early 20s and going, if this is the sort of thing where we're going to split the bill anyway, I'm going to have loads. Yeah. I'm going to order like all the sides and loads of drinks. But that's a risk because then sometimes I'm like, right, let's just all pay for what we had ourselves. You're like, oh, for fuck's sake. But I guess worst case, you're just paying for what you had there, which is fine. But yeah, I think that I think the sensitivity, like you say, and the awareness of the other three, because these are like the closest knit group of friends in the world, right?
Yeah.
It's weird that this hasn't come up before.
Especially as they're probably close enough to know what each other earns.
Right, exactly that. That's exactly it. I mean, we all know, we've been with Joey now for a season and a half, and we know he's never earned any money because he's done zero acting.
Similarly, Phoebe's not doing much work, is she?
Exactly, and Rachel's working in Central Perk at this stage. Yeah. You know, like, I think we're all aware that they're probably not in a position, especially if they're paying rent in Manhattan, to be going out someplace nice 2 days before they go out somewhere someplace nice for their friend's birthday, you know?
Yeah, there's no excuse for not being aware of it.
No excuse, guys. That's what we're saying to you. Anyway, so they have the conversation, and then we get the weird skit where they present the five steaks and the eggplant, which is a very... I enjoy that moment. It was like a sort of a brief respite, wasn't it? Everyone was happy again before it got awkward again. And then, I'd say the three... I don't know what to call them. The good earners? The three...
The rich ones.
I was sort of trying to avoid the sort of the rich and the rich and the paupers. But the rich ones sort of, like they say, present this nice gesture, but they do present it terribly, don't they?
I can completely understand why it would make the others... I appreciate the generosity and I can see that, but I can also understand why it would make the others uncomfortable to be bought so much stuff.
I honestly couldn't work out where I came down on this between like... Are they being patronising, or are the other three just being a bit of... Are they digging their heels in and being a bit of a dick by rejecting these tickets? Because by this time, don't forget, they've bought the tickets, right? They're there. Like, why would they subject themselves to a night in watching Joey counting and guessing Joey's fingers?
Yes, which is a bit sort of overly tragic, isn't it?
Well, it just feels like they're really overly making a point, you know? Like, this, I think they could have had a better conversation where they've gone, look, guys, we've bought them. It's tonight. Would you please come? We'd love it if you came. You know, like, this isn't supposed to be charity. Like, I've just got a promotion. I'm earning a bit more. I'd love to buy you guys. You know, we're each buying one of you a ticket, basically, isn't it? And then they get to the concert, and we've discussed the concert, and there's a lot about the concert that I don't understand, mainly where it is and how famous Hootie and the Blowfish are at the moment. But here's a classic Friends with Friends timeline problem.
Okay.
You ready for it?
Yeah, go.
So after the concert, they bump into Stevie, little Stevie Fisher, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Pete, let me talk you through the logistics here. This episode is in season 2, which is in 1995. I believe Monica is 26.
Okay.
Someone will correct me, but I believe she's 25 or 26 at this point. Let's take for the fact that he is younger than them, right? Mm-hmm. She says, oh, how can you be there? You're 8, you know? So we led to believe that he was 8 when they were babysitting him, right? What's the youngest Monica will have been at that age? 14? 13, 14 babysitting? Yeah. Let's call that 12 or 13 years ago, yeah? And Stevie Fisher was 8. He's now then about 20 and somehow a fully qualified lawyer looking after one of the biggest bands in the world.
Yeah, talking about his firm.
How does that... What is happening here? Anyway, that's the first prong of the problem, because that is the best case scenario. And I don't know much about law, but I'm pretty sure you have to finish school and then do like a lot of training. Yeah, there's a long way before you're, as Chandler says, Stevie and Hootie are like, they're really tight. It seems to imply they've got this sort of long term trusting relationship, the band and Stevie, you know?
Yeah.
The problem with that is, what do we also know about Monica and Rachel babysitting Stevie Fisher?
That Rachel got with his dad?
Yeah, so we'd hope that they weren't 13 or 14, wouldn't we,
at this stage? Yes.
We would hope, at best, Stevie Fisher's dad, that Monica and Rachel were 17? Let's say 16 at a... it's a fucking dodgy situation, but
we've got timelines all over the place, haven't we?
A timeline, but we'd hope they were 18, but let's say Stevie Fisher's dad's a bit of a dodgian. Hopefully he's not that much of a dodgian, Pete.
Yes.
But, you know, let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say that they're at least 16, 17. that makes them 8 or 9 years older than Stevie Fisher, which means he is now a fully qualified lawyer at the age of 16 or 17.
And he's also clearly not that age.
In his oversized suit. Anyway, all I'm saying is there's a problem with Stevie Fisher's career.
Yeah, good timeline detective work there.
Thank you very much. You are welcome. That's all I've got for you. I got so wrapped up in that everything else that happened after this episode, I didn't really make any notes about. Well, yeah, then Monica gets fired because she's supposedly taking this kickback from with the stakes. For switching the meat supply, which is sort of very glossed over earlier on, isn't it? But then she gets fired and everything is fine again. That's the thing. What a dramatic way to resolve the situation between this friendship group.
Firing.
One of them has to get fired. Oof. Bleak as. But yeah, that is it. That's how it all wraps up, isn't it? So there you go. The one with 5 steaks and an eggplant. We will consider that done. Is your washing machine on?
It is, yeah.
You didn't mention that in your noise warning, did you?
I was on the radio the other day and spoke to our political reporter on air, and his washing machine was going off in the background and then bleeped really loudly while he was talking about coronavirus.
I just feel like everyone now accepts that everyone's at home. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're watching telly. It doesn't matter if John Pienaar's just in the bath. Like, we're like, oh, he's working from home. Of course he's probably in the bath. Doesn't matter anymore. What a world we live in, hey?
Is it that loud?
It's not that loud, no. I just think I've just picked out a washing machine in my time.
Shall we end the podcast with just the sound of my washing machine?
Yeah, I think that's important.
See you next week, everyone.
Just before we do, don't forget the quiz. The next quiz is on August the 30th.
Dave, that's not important compared to...
The washing machine.
I think it's just fucking finished.
Fucking shambles.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.